This podcast is produced by energeticcity.ca, your only local and independent news in Northeast BC. To support local news and this podcast, go to energeticcity.ca/join to find out more.
Welcome to the podcast Secrets of the North, a podcast about true crime and mysteries in Northern Canada. We are recording on the traditional territory of the Dunezaw peoples. I'm your host, Emily Gallen.
And I'm your co-host, Janelle Lopushinsky. Our podcast may contain mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Janelle, hello. How are you? I missed you.
I know, it's been so long.
It's been a hot minute and a hot take, and I don't like that for us.
I don't love it either, but
how have you been?
The way life goes. Good.
Good.
Good. It's hectic. It's exam season.
Oh, yes. I love that for you.
That's okay. It's almost, I'm so done to grad. I'm so close to graduating.
Almost done. And then you'll have time this summer to go grave searching with me.
Yes.
We still have to find the graves that are down by the beaten.
Yeah.
The ones that homeboy on Facebook
told us about. There.
Yo, you know those graves down at the beaten, right?
Could be lying to us. I don't know.
We're going to go look.
I'm going to go anyways. I'm doing it.
Because also, I would love to just go walk around anyway.
Yeah.
Cactus Loop, here I come.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, settled deal. Speaking about like searching, I went to that search party for Cole.
Yes.
Darylin and Renee. So that was Dawson Creek. A month ago, we went and we did a full day search. Covered a lot of ground, like searching manholes, ditches, rivers, everything, taking pictures of anything you can kind of find, and found a lot of like, it was kind of sad finding a lot of places that people were like living.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's a rough, hard life. And I met this lady. Oh, shout out to this lady. She knows who she is. Anyway, she was my like tour guide around Dawson Creek.
I love it.
It was wild. Like she knows things. She's telling me things. She's telling me some rumors. And
I'm really glad. Like it almost kind of worked out well that I didn't end up going, because we would have been together.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't have gotten the inside scoop and
wouldn't have made that
gotten
connection.
More tour. And yeah, I think it was meant to be that I was sick.
You know, that's not even the first time that I've kind of became friends with strangers lately. On the weekend, I was coming back from Ex-Ambassador's concert in Vancouver, and my flight got canceled. So they put me up in a hotel, and then the next morning, like bright fucking early, we're all like waiting for our little shuttle bus to go to the airport. Just five of us or whatever. And I realized that like three of us are on the same flight. And so we're like, okay, let's just all go together. And then we're like, oh, what's your name? Blah, blah, Matt, Belinda, et cetera, et cetera. Except, well, actually, I got a story about that, Matt. She forgot your name. Anyways, so we become buddies over the morning. And then Belinda becomes our mother. And she's like, come with us, children. Come with me. And we helped her smuggle lotion through security.
Yeah.
And now she messaged and she's listening to the podcast. So shout out, Belinda. Love you.
Love that.
Thanks,
Mama Pod.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking care of Emmy.
I respect it. And you know what she did? This lady's sly, and I love it. She's like, I forget that guy's name, but he was on my flight yesterday, and I've talked to him so much that it's gone too long. So then I had to give her a solid and be like, hey, what's your name? Like, my name's Emily. Now he's going to find out. Belinda, I busted you. Sorry.
I love that. I hate when it's been so long and you know you can't. I have one of those. I have somebody like that at my work. I work in retail. I have regulars, and I have this one regular, he's really lovely. I don't wear a name tag.
I was gonna say, your customers
definitely
don't
wear name tags.
They should.
But I do work in an environment where I do check people's IDs, and I have checked this person's ID a plethora of time over the years, and I still don't know their first name. And it's because I'm looking at
the
picture, and I'm like, and to me, their name is Sean, and I know it's not Sean.
It is now.
And I know it's because I make a funny joke about something that they remind me of. And like, we have this like inside joke of like who I think they look like, and I will like make that joke to them. But it's just gone so long that, and I feel like I do know their name, but I'm not confident enough to be like, hey,
I don't think you'll ever need to use it.
No, I won't.
I think we're okay.
Oh, 100%. I'm in a safe zone because it's work, right?
Yes.
At the end of the day, when we leave, I'm no longer that person and you are no longer my customer. So
he is no longer
really care.
Sean.
Yeah.
He's now Chandra. He's living his best fucking Chandra. Life. All right, I'm going to start off with a little news corner.
Okay.
Because I saw something in the news and I was like, you know what? Let's tell people about it. All right. According to Energetic City News, two individuals were fatally shot at a First Nation community situated 260 kilometers northwest of Fort St. John. On Tuesday, the Tseke Dene RCMP responded to reports of gunfire at a residence where multiple individuals were injured. Arriving at the scene around 10:30 p.m., officers discovered a man armed with a firearm who had fled to a neighboring house. Law enforcement established a perimeter and called in the North District Critical Incident Program, including Crisis Negotiator Team, Emergency Response Team, and a Critical Incident Commander. Negotiations commenced around 12:20 a.m. on Wednesday, April 10th, and continued for several more hours. After an unsuccessful negotiation, the North District Emergency Response Team, along with their supporting units, arrived at approximately 5:40 a.m. Negotiations broke down, leading to the deployment of a chemical irritant into the residence. We know what that is. The man emerged from the house wielding a firearm, prompting the officers to respond. First aid was administered at the scene before he was transported to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Two individuals were found deceased at the original location of the incident. BCRCMP North District Major Crimes is currently investigating the deaths of the two individuals, and there's an investigation that's going to be conducted into the actions of the police during the incident. As the matter is now under investigation by the investigative BC law enforcement, everyone will refrain from releasing further details regarding their responses until that time. So, looks like the big boys got it now, and so law enforcement's not going to say any more tiddly-tiddly tales about it until further notice.
Damn.
Wow, I didn't, like... you know how, like, we don't get our news anymore on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I Googled the other day. I'm like, what's happening? What's going down? I didn't hear about that.
No, I honestly don't hear really much about any local news unless I, like, actively hear from my husband because he has told me something or I go and seek it myself, which is fine. I appreciate not having the news, like, blasted at me all the time, but I also miss, like, not knowing what's going on.
I mean,
in
OJ
my own community
yesterday.
I did not know that for like I didn't find out until like 8 p.m
I find out my news through memes.
Yeah.
And then I have to try and understand what the meme is about, and I'm like, what, why are all these OJ memes coming
well,
out? And then
yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's so bro. funny. I didn't Trey came home and he said something about him passing away, and I was like, huh? And then
you're like, he was still alive?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. And I just also happened to not be on my phone a lot yesterday between school and stuff. So I finally, like, checked my phone after dinner. And that's when I started seeing all these, like, OJ memes of, like, him pointing at himself in the mirror being like, OJ showing up in hell, finding his wife's killer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hot take.
Well, Janelle, should we hear word from our sponsors? All right, today, Janelle and Crime Corner, I'm actually going to tell you about two victims, two women, and I'll just get into it. Here's their tale, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
On April 16th, 2008, Annie Davis, an Indigenous woman from Chetwynd, BC, went missing, and no one had heard from her since then. Annie was born on May 8th, that's my mom's birthday, 1961, in Dawson Creek, BC, and was 46 years old at the time of her disappearance. Her family would not have to wait long for answers because her body was found on May 6, 2008, almost a month later, along Jackfish Lake Road. Jackfish Lake Road is an offshoot of the Highway 29, which stretches from Chetwynd to Fort St. John via Moberly Lake and Hudson's Hope. This road seems to veer out of town and into the middle of nowhere, making it an ideal location to hide evidence of one's crimes. It is a remote area with vast open spaces, dense forests, and winding roads, which make it challenging to find someone or something. After an extensive 14-month investigation conducted by the E Division North District Major Crime Unit, the Chetwynd RCMP Detachment, and several other RCMP units, one 24-year-old named Patrick Sean Richard was arrested in Surrey, BC. This was on July 24, 2009. He was charged with the murder of Annie Davis and was remanded in custody until his court hearing, which was scheduled for August 4th, 2009. It would take until 2011 for a sentence to be handed down to Patrick. He was sentenced in Dawson Creek to life in prison with no chance of parole for 10 years for second-degree murder. This sentence provided some sense of justice for Annie's family and friends, who had to live with the pain of losing their loved one due to an act of senseless violence. A wake and funeral were held at the Saulteaux First Nations Community Hall, and she was laid to rest in the Lakeview Cemetery in Moberly Lake, BC. Annie left behind a daughter, son, grandson, mother, stepfather, sisters, brothers, longtime companion, numerous nieces, nephews, and relatives and friends. Her memory will continue to live on through them and the community, and her tragic death serves as a reminder of the ongoing issues of violence against Indigenous women in Canada. And, you know, years later, not even too far from Annie, another Indigenous woman would meet the same fate. So buckle up for some more sad news. In July 2014, a woman by the name of Pamela Napoleon went missing from the Blueberry River First Nation. Pamela was just 42 at the time of her disappearance. I read an article called Fort St. John, A Dangerous Place for Our Women, and it stated that the search for her didn't last long, as she was found in an old trapper's cabin on August 4th, 2014 by a close friend, who, prompted by a dream actually, decided to go check out that cabin again and found charred human remains lying on the bed.
Oh my gosh.
According to the CBC News, RCMP investigators from Fort St. John, BC, and the North Major District Crime Unit identified her remains found in the trapper's cabin that had burned to the ground. It took dental and medical records to confirm the identity. Police believe the fire happened between July 8th and 9th, 2014. Because of the heat of the fire, investigators have not been able to establish the cause of death. And yeah, if you watch enough true crime shows, you know it has to become insanely hot for a long period of time to have bones specifically.
Well, actually get rid of an entire human, it takes an insane amount of heat. Like a normal fire will never be hot enough to do that. A normal fire is still hot enough to get rid of evidence, tissue, things that would lead, like, unless there was like a very significant mark, like in a bone they found, like that could indicate something happened. They would never know.
Yeah. Like strangulation, you won't be able to
exactly tell. But let's say if they were like stabbed in the chest and it hit a rib, maybe that rib would have
like a notch in it.
And they could kind of, you know, it, but it's a guessing game at that point.
It sounds like, so if they believe that the fire happened around July 8th and 9th, and then her body was found on August 4th, so almost a month later.
Yeah.
That's
a long time.
Family members noted that they felt they needed to put pressure on the RCMP to investigate. They also noted that throughout the investigation, the crime unit poured over hundreds of pieces of evidence, and it still took 3 years before there was ever an arrest in this case.
Wow.
On October 27th, 2017, a man by the name of Leonard Wokley was arrested. Leonard was born in 1975, and according to Alaska Highway News, had minor previous interactions with the law, such as uttering threats and mischief under 5,000. And guess how they caught him?
How?
Mr. Sting operation, baby.
Oh, yes. The I good love old classic a good Mr. Sting. Big.
It's a beauty. It's a Canadian beauty.
It is. Canada. We know how to be sneaky little bastards is what we know how to do.
They're really expensive too, though.
Oh, I could not imagine.
It's not. I mean, I guess it is our money. I was going to say it's not my money.
It is my money.
All right. Alaska Highway News stated that Wokley and Napoleon knew each other from living in Blueberry River First Nation, roughly an hour north of Fort St. John, and were last seen leaving the community together July 8th, 2014.
Well,
okay. So right around the time of the fire.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Court documents tell a story of the two consuming drugs and alcohol at Pam's house before heading out to 101 and then to a ranch in Pink Mountain. That's a trek.
That's a little far away.
Yeah, that's pretty. Okay. Plans changed and they headed to an old trapper's cabin instead, and that is the scene of the crime. The court heard that after the two had a sexual encounter, Wokely claims that she hit him twice over the head with a frying pan, and he retaliated by pinning her down and choking her. He claims that he thought she was faking being dead until he checked for a pulse and found none.
Next, yep.
Yeah.
I choked her. I thought she was pretending to be dead.
Oh, jokes. Like, no one does that, sir.
No.
Next, he goes on to do the unimaginable. I won't go into the details, but he did leave her inside the cabin, and then he had lit on fire. I don't know why I had thought even, like, strangulation at the beginning, too, because I have, like, I wrote this.
I know you
researched this, like, a year ago.
Yeah, but you wrote it and hadn't thought of it for a while.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't know. It's so hard, because I could 100% believe somebody saying, I was aggressive and I choked them, but I didn't intend to kill them. I, like, abusive people exist, aggressive people exist. Yeah. So I could definitely see the reality in him being like, I didn't think I actually killed her. Like, and then when I realized I did, the panic sets in and I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get in trouble. And it's like, if it's an accident, you always just call the cops. Someone has passed, call the cops, call whoever you need to, and honesty is your best option. In his case, probably wouldn't have been. But if you explained the fight, look at these injuries I have on my head. Like, if you were hit in the head with a frying pan.
I wonder, it's years later, because I was going to say, I wonder if he could even prove that she did hit him.
Not now, but if he would have done the correct thing.
It was a cast iron frying pan. Do you think it still would have been there?
If she hit him twice in the head with a cast iron frying pan, I don't think he would have got up.
People around them in the small community would have noticed if he had a head injury.
I would say so. Unless
he
doesn't
hang out with anybody.
And like, he could hide it with his hair.
Yeah. Anyways, fuck him.
I'm playing a horrible devil's advocate. This guy's an asshole, no matter what. I don't care.
No, he's an asshole. But thankfully, in 2017, Wokely was charged with arson, interference with a dead body, and with Napoleon's murder.
Snaps.
Yes. His court would take place over 2 days in Fort St. John, and he would serve life in prison with no chance of parole for 10 years for the second-degree murder of Pamela Napoleon. And still, I think that's too short.
I was going to say 10 years.
10 years for all. Like, I don't get it. There's no point getting into it. We know that the justice system, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
According to Alaska Highway News, when given the chance, Wokely spoke to the victim's family saying, "My family's all messed up. Her family's all messed up. Every day I think about this, and every day I ask the Lord to help me. I'm sorry for everything that happened." And he pled guilty to her murder. Also, take your sorries and put them in your bum.
Yeah. If you were sorry, you would have called the cops immediately and said, "Oh my God, I did this horrible thing. I made this horrible mistake. Yeah. Please help me.
And there's excuses. He's giving excuses.
Because
my family's messed up.
My family. Oh, yeah. My family's really messed up. Her family.
Don't talk about her family.
Yeah. Her family's messed up because of what you did. Yeah, Who cares what was going on previously before? I can guarantee it was nothing compared to losing a family member in this way.
According to Alaska Highway News, Pamela is remembered as being a loving daughter, sister, and mother who cared deeply about family and community. She loved her culture and the outdoors and loved to prepare and cook meals for special occasions. So RIP, Annie Davis, and Pam Napoleon, sweet beautiful angels, and FU to the murderers, which I won't even name again.
Yeah, they don't deserve to have their names shared again. That's so hard. I think it's really unfortunate, just showing, again, another testament to what our Indigenous women go through when our communities in Canada, in BC specifically, I don't know why we are so, like...
Most of the cases we cover are Indigenous women.
Period.
So, yeah.
It's really unfortunate, and it sucks that Annie Davis and Pamela Napoleon are just two more names that are on another red dress, and it breaks my heart. It breaks, I'm sure, thousands of people's hearts. So why are things not changing?
That's the thing, like, right?
And I always just think, like, I'm just a silly little girl from Leduc. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I'm just a tiny little ant on this big rock. What can I do? And the only thing I can do is just say, like, I'm not cool with it.
And I think we should bring in someone from that community, maybe even, like, to talk to us and educate us about what's going on. And then we can even bring that to the public as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be really impactful because we don't have firsthand account, especially within these communities. Like, I am not from here, so I don't even know what it's like growing up here. I don't know, like, what it is to have blood in the John.
I'm from these streets, baby. Yeah. I used to walk around barefoot on these streets. Out them there streets, partner. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Okay, Janelle, do you want to spook my butt out?
Yeah, let's lighten the mood get a little spooky. Spook. Let's do that.
Let's go to spooky corner.
Gotcha. So today I have a really fun story, actually. It's an older story that I had somebody tell me a long time ago.
Okay.
I unfortunately was not able to contact them before recording this, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name or not, so we're just going to call them T. Mr. T. He was a really amazing man that I worked with when I was out of high school, and just like a really fascinating person. He was through a lot of different like adversities that you wouldn't really expect somebody to go through. Like, he lost his eye at like 10 years old.
Jesus.
And it put him in a coma, and he like lost the first 10 years of his life. Like, he woke up with no memory. So when what? I knew him, he was like 40, 41, 42 ish, but he was mentally like 30 because he hadn't lived technically those first 10 years in his mind, because he lost all of his memory from this injury.
It's like one of what's like that romance show, The Vow.
And yeah, she loses like, her memory. Yeah, falls but back T-Man was only like 8 when it happened, I think.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm remembering this correctly, it was like an arrow, and him and his friends were playing like chicken. Like, they shot it up in the air, and they were all like, where did it go? And they were looking up, and it just went right into his eye.
Well, when you play with arrows.
Yeah. So he was a fascinating man. Really enjoyed spending time with him. And when he found out at that time, this was back when I was in my paranormal investigation group.
Okay.
And at that time, I had every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanting to tell me their ghost stories. So it was really fun. And a lot of them I don't remember. I know a lot of people at that time were telling me ghost stories. But T-Man.
Do you know a lot of Toms and Dicks and Harrys?
I do.
Oh my God. Okay.
But T-Man was like the one that stuck. It's never left me. It gives me chills to this day when I think about it.
Stuck in your
brain. And it's actually in BC.
Okay.
It's in Golden. So it's like really close to Alberta, but it Golden's happened in Golden. Nice. So like I said, it's in Golden, BC.
Okay.
And there's two different instances where he went there. So the first time he went to Golden that he told me about, he was probably about 17. He was with some friends and they were camping. They had gone to Banff and just wanted to cross over, beautiful, continue on. And they were camping outside of Golden.
I'm picturing like in the 70s or 80s.
It was probably like the late 80s for sure.
Camper van.
Yeah.
Okay, we got
they're
some
in a tent.
Short shorts.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, T-Man's in short shorts and Converse. He's got a crop top. He's chopping wood.
I like it.
And he's
Park Ranger
they
vibes,
have a tent for sure. I know that. So they're sleeping. They've had a fire. They've had some bevies. They're getting ready to leave. They've been there for 2 nights.
Okay.
And it's their last night. They're going to leave in the morning. They are awoken while they're sleeping by somebody shaking their tent. Like,
no,
angrily shaking their tent.
Nope.
So
that's like a nightmare of mine. Hard
100%. So they whip out of the tent and there's a man there.
They
rip out their they get out of the tent and there's a man there. And
I'm sorry. I don't know why that freaks me out so much.
And it's definitely the early morning because the sun is coming up. So it's kind of blue out, you know, you can see everybody. And this man is in a suit.
It's not north, so it does get darker. Because I just think growing up here, it doesn't get dark in the summer. It just gets darker.
Darker.
Okay, so this is morning.
It's
light.
Because in the mountains, too, sometimes it's dark. It takes a little bit more for that sunshine to get above those peaks.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know.
Geography shit. Yeah.
So anyway, I remember him saying that it was light out, and there was a man outside their tent. And he was so mad at them. He was like screaming at them. He was screaming at them and was like, get the F off of this property. This is not public camping. How dare you be here? And he was in like a business suit and had like a briefcase and was like, you need to leave. Like, you cannot be here. And T-Man and his friend were like, oh crap. Like, and they literally,
they oopsie daisy
grabbed all their stuff and like threw it into their back of their truck and just like drove away with this man still like yelling at them. And he was just like losing his mind. And they were like, what the F was that?
Like, I just realized a really cool hack. If I set up my camp, my tent before I went, and then I just put it in the back of the truck and like tied it down. And then when I was like, there, I would just put it on the ground.
So you eat it down out of the box.
Fucking hack. Okay.
So
that's
insane.
So, okay.
They were spooked, obviously. They're spooked. Like, what the actual hell? And they knew that where they were allowed to be.
Okay.
Because they had been told by like a family friend or something, like, okay, go camp here. It's like a known spot for people to camp. And they're
like
they
had
a fire.
It must have been.
Yeah, it was kind of like on the side of the road. The way he explained it to me was it's outside of town. It was by the river. I know there's like quite a large river kind of by Golden. And it was like almost like an off pocket of the road. He said that he could still hear the main road. And it was like a quick jump to get on.
I wonder how that person like saw or knew they were there.
Right? And that's kind of what they started questioning themselves while they were driving away, because they just were like, oh shit, let's get out of this guy's way, like, okay, this dude's mad. So they just left, and when they were leaving, they kind of started questioning like what had just happened to them, and they both were like, that was so weird, like, we know we were allowed to be there, we know other people camp there, it's not like they built the fire pit that they had their fire in, like, that was there. So I know I didn't mention that, but that was already there. Like, it was a space that they should have been allowed to be in.
It looked
so it was weird. And then T-Man is kind of thinking about what this guy looked like, and he's realizing that the suit he was in was kind of like a tweed, like 70s suit. Like, it was it was plaid and it was brown. And he was like, man, what a dated suit, because it's late 80s at this point.
Okay.
So he's like, that's not uncommon to see people still dressing like that at the time, but he was like, that's weird. To be in the middle of nowhere with this suit.
Golden?
Yeah.
In the 80s, I don't know how many people
were wearing tweed suits walking around.
Yeah, it's more of like a, what's it, like a wood lumberjacky type place?
Totally.
Snowboarding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And not weird business guy with a briefcase yelling at you to not be on this land.
Yeah.
So that was weird. And they were just kind of like, I wonder, maybe they're developing it. And that was kind of the consensus they came down to, was that they were there, a developer showed up, and the developer was like, get the F out of here.
They're going to show a property even?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of what they were thinking was maybe he showed up for literally what you just said, a showing. Maybe they were the person who was buying it and wanted to like ensure people weren't camping there anymore and went and like checked every morning on their way to work or something kooky like that.
Maybe it was one of their long lost fathers. I don't know yet.
It was very just, who knows what happened.
Okay.
So let's fast forward about 15 years. T-Man's about 27 now. This is like, or no, he's probably in his mid-30s now, actually, I should say, because I knew him when he was about 40.
Yeah.
This happened about 5 years really before I knew him.
Okay.
So he was about 35.
Okay.
He's in Golden again.
Okay.
And he's with a different friend.
Okay.
They're gone hunting, and they decide, they're like, it's super late, we need to pull off, and let's just like sleep in our trucks. And T-Man goes, I know somewhere in Golden that we can just pull off. It's like a known camping spot to pull off. It might be developed now, I don't know, but let's just go see. And when
they get
there,
he's gonna
go back
to the same place.
It was he went back, and it was still a camping space. So he thought, it's been 15 plus years, maybe that development didn't happen, or
but it was the same.
But it was the exact same. Fire pit was still there. Nothing was different.
Okay.
So he was like, sick. Love to see this. Love that it's still here. This is perfect for me and my friend. We're pooped. So they slept in their trucks. They just pulled over and took a nap. And in the middle of the night, T-Man is woken up by someone banging on his window. Banging on the car window. And he wakes up and he looks, and it is the same man in the suit with the briefcase saying, get the fuck out of here.
This time I'd be like, no, I will not.
Goosebumps thinking, telling the story again.
That's like a nightmare of mine. I like to keep camping, and I like to camp in my van.
And well, this time he was like, what the F? Because he didn't think about it when the only thing he thought of when they first went was, hopefully it hasn't been developed. That was like basically his main thought.
He didn't
was
think he was going to see bro again.
He thought it's either going to be still a camp or not a camp. So when he saw it was still a camp, he was pretty stoked and didn't really think that this person would be anything he needed to worry about.
So what does he do next?
He gets out of the truck because he's like, I'm going to freaking confront this person.
Yeah,
it is 15 years in difference between these meetings. Like, what are you still doing here? Yelling at these random campers. He's hunting. So he has like a gun rack on the back of his truck. So he said he grabbed one of his guns and he could hear the person still yelling at him, but now yelling at his friend's truck because he came and banged on his window, told him to wake up and leave.
Get T-man, your morning boner out of here.
T-man gets out of the truck, grabs his gun, can hear him banging on his friend's truck, and goes to face him, and there's no one there. So then his friend is also, at this point, out of the truck with a gun, and the two of them go looking for this person.
That's...
And they said they looked around probably for about a half hour.
Like, does that, like, you know, because you know more about this,
yeah,
you know about this stuff.
To
like...
me, it reminds me of some sort of this, if this is a spirit...
Yeah.
They are trapped in a cycle.
Like an imprint, maybe.
Yeah, it could, and that's exactly what I was just about to say. It could even be an imprint of somebody, because mm-hmm. I do believe that people can leave parts of themselves in certain spaces.
Yeah, and
like
if he was
I've
angry,
done,
like,
yes.
That's a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that is a little odd whenever it comes to possibly, like you said, the cycle or leaving somebody or like just like a piece of somebody being there. I really believe in that because I have been in a paranormal investigation once where we were getting the name and the details of somebody who is still alive. Mm-hmm. And we were speaking to a spirit that was either pretending,
or...
yeah, it was through a spirit box. And who the voice that we were getting through and the answers we were getting through were claiming to be somebody who was still alive. And they were a murderer whose their name's Tom Svekla in Edmonton. They murdered somebody outside
name.
Of Edson. And there is also possibility that he, of course, was never charged for any other murder. But there's about three other women who were killed around the time that they suspect was also him. And we would go to one of the locations where one of the bodies was found. And we would do... talks there and try to connect to see if there was like somebody stuck there. We never picked up a victim, which was very refreshing. We were very happy because the biggest thing was we wanted to go there to make sure that like they weren't stuck there, because that was like something that we just yes, because like a traumatic, because the other thing too is like that could also tell you that like that is just where their body was laid and that's not where their soul was taken, kind of thing. That's not where they were killed. So their soul isn't really attached to that spot. It really is just the body. But the person who dumped the body there, they are attached. And their energy was there. And like we were getting a male voice claiming to be Tom, who is alive and well at the Edmonton Reman, through a spirit box. And after that, it really kind of...
I've never even heard of that happen. That's interesting.
And I've heard of it happening once in a paranormal show I watched called Dead Files. Have you ever watched that one?
I think that I actually have.
It's a great one. It's a cop and a psychic. And he does like all this investigating of like the house
and talks to the family.
And she knows nothing and then goes in and does the
investigation. Those are my favorite.
Me too. So she did this one where she's in a basement. And it was the first time I ever heard anything about it. And I instantly thought of this event that we had with Tom where I was like, oh my gosh, this is what it is. She was in a basement and she was like, there's a spirit here of somebody who's still alive. And I thought, what? And she talked about it. And the soul can rip into pieces when it does traumatic things and can leave traces of yourself. So I truly believe like Tom dumping Mr. Monster Slavekla, dumping a body that fucking tears you apart. Like, human is not
does
supposed
he
to
even
be doing
have
that,
a soul?
Right? But like, how did he come through a spirit box when he's alive?
Dude, that's nuts.
It's crazy. So
if your spirit got stuck somewhere, where would it be?
Yeah. So a part of me thinks, what if this Mr. Tweed suitcase man who attacked T-Man and his friends, what if he was just a piece of somebody who is stuck there in a weird cycle? Hmm. Or I have also heard of, read a lot of, and a lot of people do believe that spirits who don't move on get stuck in cycles and they get stuck
like the loop
in the last thing that they may have done. So maybe that man was developing that land, was a business guy, and was like, what are you doing here? And whoever was there killed him. But that's what he's stuck doing forever, over and over again.
What if he gets run over?
Yeah, what if some, like,
we should,
maybe this person...
We should research and see if there's...
I tried. Okay. So that was just...
I was going to say, what would I Google? Tweed
I literally tried to look up Hit and Run in Golden.
That's what I was thinking.
Hit and Run. Man why. Found in Golden. Like, I tried to find any type of suspicious, and specifically in the 70s and 80s, I was trying to find. And I couldn't really find anything that fit it. And I mean, I shouldn't say I couldn't find anything. I maybe looked for a half an hour. I'm sure if we did more looking, possibly we could find something.
One just take care of and this.
Just go down the deep dive. But it is just so fascinating that it could just be somebody stuck reliving those last moments or reliving that moment in general. Or it could be another thing, too, I thought was, is he protecting something? Like, is this spirit warning people to leave for something other than, like, ooh, selfish spirit reasons? Because sometimes spirits are angry and they're just stuck in a cycle and they don't know why. But what if he's, like, telling them to leave because there's something not a morning there? Person.
15 years later, this fucking guy again.
Are you serious? T-Man, I told you to leave 15 years ago.
Jeez. Okay, I'm not going camping in Golden then, but that's fine. Actually, now when I go camping this summer, that's what I'm going to think about. Like, that is my fear, is when I'm camping that someone comes.
Yeah.
Like, because you hear stories.
Yeah.
About that happening. The worst ones, because those are stranger ones when that happens. And that's, like, the most terrifying and the hardest to solve.
Yeah.
And 100%. I think maybe most likely that you actually are going to die, because I think they kind of came with a purpose.
Yeah. Right?
Unless you can get them to change their mind.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's a wild one.
That is a wild one.
Thanks, Jill.
Hey, man.
Thanks, T-Man.
Thanks, T-Man. Yeah, hope you're T-Man. Not getting scared and Golden anymore. And
salty, man.
And if somehow somebody hears this story and they say, I knew somebody with a T name who has this same story, please let me know, because I have no way to get in contact with T-Man anymore because he's no longer on socials.
Okay, help us find T-Man.
And I would love to be reunited with him.
We're going
to
give you barely any information, and we want you to go out there and we want you to find T-Man for us.
Find him for me.
Are we going to tell you his real name? No.
I already told you that he's missing an eye. And that he's in Alberta. God, that childhood story too. If you know him, you will know who I'm talking about, because that childhood story is
good.
Is impactful. You won't forget it.
Speaking of social media, where can the good listeners find you, Janelle?
You can find me on Instagram at Princess Lizard. The A is a 4.
Yeah, it is. You can find me at E_GEE. Or you can find both of us at Secrets of the North Podcast. Oh, is that even... Wait, that's... What is it?
I think it's Secrets of the North.
Secrets of the North _ podcast? I don't know.
Row.
We haven't done this in a while. I'm sure you'll find out. Figure it out. All right, love you guys. Put something in your butt.
Thanks for listening to this energeticcity.ca podcast. Energeticcity.ca is your only local and independent news in Northeast BC. To help keep us independent and to support this podcast, go to energeticcity.ca/join.